Okay, today I'm going to share with you. Today I'm going to share with you a kliyakar that will blow your mind. Okay, really blow your mind. Well, I hope it'll blow your mind. We're going to study a Ramban, and especially today that is Yom HaZikaron, we're going to talk about the value of life. And I think the most appropriate thing to do, of course, is to dedicate our learning Torah to the Li'ilui Nishmat Achenu Bnei Yisrael, who gave me the ultimate sacrifice, the labor of their lives, so that we could be here and do what we're doing today. So we'll have them in mind. Today we're going to learn a very, very, very short section in Perek Yud Chet of Parashat Achrimot, which is unique, strange, and critically important for understanding so many of the mitzvot. Okay, we're going to, as we always do, we'll read the psukim. We're going to point out many, many interesting things about the psukim, and then probably answer two or three of those, and leave the rest for you to study on your own. Everybody there, chapter 18. Okay, the end of Achrimot, the end of Kedoshim, just by way of introduction, deal with the arayot. Arayot, forbidden sexual relationships. Okay, so you're not allowed, you know, your brother, your sister, your mother, your mother's sister, your sister's mother, etc., etc., etc. So, what? Those are different, could be different. Sister from your father's mother. Right. If you've learned Yevamot, you've learned these things, you know, there's like a gajillion different permutations. Okay. And we'll see in this, well, we're not going to see. We're not going to read actually the Arayot. The Isurim are in Achrimot, and in Kedoshim is the punishments. Okay. Of Karet. And we've done this, but we've done it before. You can look back on the recordings if you want. One of the really, really fundamental sources about Eretz Yisrael is the Ramban on Kedoshim, the land won't vomit you out. And the element of Kedushat Ha'aretz, Ramban writes about the notion of the land of Israel being an entity, being alive. And some of you might remember that. Who's our historian? Who's our Shiur? What? Where's Debbie? Yeah. Okay. Vaydaber Hashem, or Perek Yud Chet Pasuk Aleph. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor. Daber el Bnei Yisrael, v'amarta alehem, ani Hashem Elokechem. Speak unto the children of Israel and say to them, I am Hashem your God. Kima'asei Eretz Mitzrayim asher yishavtem ba lo ta'asu. Like the actions of the land of Mitzrayim, where you dwelt, you shall not do. Ukima'asei Eretz Kanan asher ani mevi etchem shama lo ta'asu. Uvechukotehem. And like the actions, the maaseh, the deeds of the land of Canaan that I am bringing you to there, you shall not do. Ubechukotehem lo teilechu. And in their laws, you shall not walk, you shall not follow. Et mishpatai ta'asu, vechukotai tishmeru lalechet behem. My statutes and my laws you should guard to go in them. Ani Hashem Elokechem. I am the Lord your God. Ushmartem et chukotai bet mishpatai, asher yaaseh otam ha'adam v'chai bahem, ani Hashem. And you shall keep my statutes and my laws, that a person shall do and live in them, I am Hashem. Right? Even when you stop and you read the psukim, it just jumps out at you. This is nothing like anything we've seen to this point. Now we will see later on, ani Hashem elokechem a lot. Okay? But the thing that anybody want to share what jumps out at you? I mean, there should be a number of things that jump out at you just from reading Sukkim straight up that seem unusual, that require a demand elucidation, explanation. Okay. Lalechet Bahem. Where do you see that, by the way? Lalechet Bahem. Good. And?
And then it says, Bechai Bahem. In Hay.
Well, you have the verb Lalechet twice. Where are the two times? Very good. Chokateim lo teilechu, and then it says, Chokatai tishmeru lalechet b'chem. Okay. Are you asking a question or are you just pointing out?
No, I'm just pointing.
Great, but you're pointing out. What are we pointing out? What in the world does it mean lalechet b'chem? To walk in them. What do we mean? What do we? Go in the statutes. Chokateim lo teilechu. Familiar with the term? What does it mean? What else?
Well, it's also very...
To me, it's a simile.
One second, yeah.
It's very strong saying you're not going to do what you've seen in the past and you're not going to do what you're going to. Like, you have different rules and regulations. Like, you know, I don't remember that being part of it before. It was like, yeah, keep your names and keep your... But it wasn't such a strict thing of you're not going to do what those people did and you're not going to do what those people did.
Very good. Moreover, it didn't put it in a context. It never put it in a context. Okay? I mean, it always was... do this, like you said, do that, do this, do that, keep this mitzvah, keep that mitzvah.
But it wasn't keeping away from other things in the same way.
Very good. Correct. Yeah.
Assimilate. Don't assimilate.
Don't assimilate.
Yeah.
But we're talking about the law here.
No, but it's just assimilate. When you assimilate, you stop doing, you take off what they're doing and you forego who you are. I mean, that's what it is to assimilate. It's to become part of the other. Make the other part of you.
No. Different extent.
I thought Bahem means maybe like it should be such a part of you that you wouldn't do it. Like, it should be a part of you, Bahem, in.
To go in them. Okay. So that's bothering you, lalechet behem. What does it mean to go in them? What else? There's a couple other things that I really should just call out to you. Okay? Should just say. Like, what?
Ani Hashem.
Ani Hashem. That's very good. Okay? It says, how does it start? It starts out, I just want you to know, Ani Hashem Elokeichem.
Right, that's the reason. Repeat it three
times. Wait a second. You're answering a question. What's the question?
I said, why is it saying Ani Hashem?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, by the Baruch Hashem Moshe Limor. Just
but
let the Jewish people know.
But it's a gradual build-up. Every time he adds another layer.
Very good. So this is Nechama's, Chumash that all of you might have. Right? You have this at home? Should have it. Okay. Okay, she says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Kima'asei Eretz Yisrael B'Sher Yasilam Lo Tasu. She just... When you put the text in a form, it just makes so much sense.
That's what I feel.
Right? Break. Intro, like you know, pause, stanza. Then, but mishvatai tasu, v'chukotai tishmeru. Right? Because now they correspond. Okay? Kema'asei chukotai, okay? La'lechet behem, we don't really know what that is. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ushvartem et chukotai v'mishvatai asher yaseh otam v'chai behem ani Hashem. So you see this phrase, this sort of it beginning, middle, and end. It's ani Hashem, ani Hashem, ani Hashem. And the obvious question is, what's the point? What is this ani Hashem coming to emphasize each time? Or why is it so critical in this context? That the Torah has to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it.
It's like it starts and it ends with that's the bottom.
Absolutely, well,
it's also
right.
I mean, it's lo tasu sehem and lo tafu. Like, why the double?
And for us, it's mishpatai tasu, mechukotai tishmeru. Okay, we don't do what they do. We do, but we do what we do. So there's a. It's just a very fascinating introduction. Finally, there's a very, very well. There's a few other questions as well, which I'll share with you. What does it mean? Like, introductions are very nice. But this should mean something. What do you come away with? What does the Torah want us to come away with? What does it mean? It's a very difficult question. Don't do what they do. Okay. So what does that mean? Don't do what they're going to do. Don't do like Egypt. Don't do like Canaan. You obviously could take it in a number of different ways. Now, in the pshat, by way of introduction, what's the pshat trying to tell us? What ma'aseh are we talking about? If I were to ask you? What? Why do you say that?
Because I think that's the defining
characteristic.
Right, that differentiates Am Yisrael from the other nations.
Okay.
I think it gets highlighted when it says, I am your God. You know, they look to different gods, but, you know, I don't know. That's
how you see it. Anything else? In the pshat, in the context?
Arabs here.
What?
There's Arabic.
Very good. Okay, so the context, the simple pshat is arayot. I'm introducing arayot, so I say, by the way, the place where you came from, don't be like, and the place where you're going to, don't be like. You have to be like the Jews. And that's the introduction is, like, even though you saw it over there, and even though you saw it over here.
Like
what?
Or like me.
Ani Hashem Elokeichem. You have to be like, you have to do what it, because I said so. And so the question is, then, depending on, by the way, you're both right. Both right. Because we're going to see Midrashim in this direction, Perushim in that direction. And then what does the context of Ani Hashem tell you about that? Okay? Is there more? Can you learn it more broadly? Can we even learn it in a more broad context?
Well, it could just be how Ben Adam HaChaverah, like how society works.
No. Would you say that? Is that a qualification of Mitzrayim or Canaan?
Well, they must have had laws of how society works.
What's that?
They must have had laws.
Yeah, but is there a reason to think that it's that they're not Ben Adam Mechaberot? Is there a reason to think here it's talking about Ben Adam Mechaberot? Chukotem lo
teilechem. Like laws, a mishpatet, you know, it's like the definition of chukotem.
Excellent. So now you're asking.
You're talking about laws. It's like general laws, I would have thought.
Terrific. So then the next question you raise is, what does it mean to make mishpatai ta'asu vechukotai teilechem? What is mishpatai and chukotai? Ushmartem and chukotai bet mishpatai. What is God, what's he asking of us?
He's asking two different things.
What are they?
The things you understand and the things you don't understand.
Because you understand chok in general as zot chukat haTorah. Okay, very good. That's absolutely correct. But there's also other interpretations as well. Finally, what does v'chai b'hem mean? Asher ya'aseh otam ha'adam, that a person will do v'chai b'hem.
Do you die for and certain things you don't die for in terms of, right?
We do derive the halacha. Is that relevant here?
I don't know.
Does it seem relevant here?
Can I say?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because
fine.
You'll be alive. You'll be vital. It'll be a satisfying life.
Again, v'chai b'hem, you shall live through them.
Also, it's reversed the order.
Okay.
It's also reversed the order. First, he speaks about mishpatai ta'asu.
Excellent. Good eye. Everyone see that? Look at Pesuk Dalet. Very good. And mishpatai ta'asu vechukotai tishmu in Pesuk Dalet.
And he says, shmartim et
chukotai.
And it's mishpatai.
Very good. It's a good eye. It's backwards.
Because
she's a lawyer. She's a lawyer, yeah.
Every now and again it comes out.
Every
now and again you come through.
Right, and let me point out again, you'll also notice that in the first pasuk, mishpatai ta'asu bechukotai tishmeru.
Right.
The noun comes before the verb.
Correct.
My statutes you shall do. And the second pasuk is, you shall observe my statutes. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you why. I saw Kliyakar about that. You can look it up on your own.
But
okay?
First he says to lishmor the chukim and to la'asot the mishpatim.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says you just got to lishmor both of them.
Shmatem chukutai mishpatai. Very good.
Where does it say
lishmor? Well, I told you there's a zillion questions on this. It's very good. Absolutely. All these questions are excellent. Okay?
That's just because I'm...
Okay, so how do we have, again, let's just go back and list the questions. Let's list the questions again. One, why Ani Hashem Elokeichem three times? What's the point of Ani Hashem Elokeichem? Why, what is the nature or the understanding of the context of Eretz Mitzrayim and Eretz Canaan? And how are we being admonished vis-a-vis? What are we not supposed to be like? That's number two. Number three, what are Mishpatim and Chukot? What are Chuk, Mishpat? What is the context here? Why does it switch them? Why does it switch the order? Why does it say it backwards? What does it mean? What does it mean when it says v'chai b'hem and you shall live in them? Okay, and how is this all related to the context in which it's found, which is the arayot? I will not answer all of these questions. Okay, but you can just see how rich all of these things are. So first, of course, we're going to look at Rashi and see, of course, that Rashi answers these questions. These are the questions that he's addressing. For better or for worse, these are the questions he's addressing. Then we'll look at the unbelievable Kli Yakar. Then we'll share a Ramban. And then we'll try to understand what V'chai B'hem means. There's a lot of different understandings to V'chai B'hem. Okay. Rashi. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'ratem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am the Lord your God. What is the reason for I am the Lord your God? Rashi. Ani hu she'am on Pasuk Bet. Ani hu she'amarti b'sinai, Ani Hashem Elokeicha. I am the guy at Sinai, the God at Sinai that said, I am the Lord your God. V'kibaltem aleichem malchuti, and you accepted my sovereignty. Me'ata kiblu gzeirotai, and now you must also accept my decrees. My decrees about what?
What you can't.
About what specifically? About what? What's the context here? Gilui Arayot. Right. Gilui Arayot is we've discussed this before. It's a particularly challenging one because people. On the one hand, there's this natural human inclination to want to engage in a lesser sexuality, and at the same time, people don't think it doesn't hurt anyone. Like, what is it? What does anybody care what I do? I mean, those are the mores that we live with today. Like, this is my private life; I could do whatever I want to do. Okay, so comes along a Kaddish Baruch and says, "No, these are my gzeirot." Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Rebbe Omer, okay, Rebbe says, Galui v'yadua lifanav. It was clear to God. It was revealed before God. Shesofan dinatek ba'arayot b'imei Ezra. That they would come apart. They were going to fail regarding Arayot in the times of Ezra. Lefikach ba'alehem b'gzeira. He comes along to them with a gzeira, a decree. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am Lord your God. De'u mi gozer aleichem. No, who decrees upon you? Dayan lipara v'ne'eman l'shalem sechar. He will pay back. He will pay you, meaning you will pay if you don't follow the rules, and you will receive reward if you do follow the rewards. What? Lipara, to be paid. Lipara, to pay, to extract payment. Now, where do we also find, interestingly enough, I noticed this morning, the idea of Ani Hashem Elokeichem in the context of Arayot, or in the context of keeping mitzvot. It comes up a lot, actually. Okay, in the Shema, where does it come up in the Shema? And the end it says, Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher atzeiti etchem mi'eretz Yitzrayim, lo tachem levoyim. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. The idea that when we're dealing with these things that are so challenging and so difficult, and understand that they are critical but also significant in the context of Jewish life, Hashem says, do it because I said so. I am the Lord your God. Is it hot?
Yes.
I'm going to try to open the... I closed the window because of the noise. Okay. I'm going to try to open... Yeah, open the door. And if that doesn't work, well... People don't like air conditioning. They get cold.
There's a lot going on
out there. No, they left them. They're gone. Much better. Thank you. Okay. Next, let's go on to Rashi. But that's one understanding. Meaning, Rashi says, why does he say I'm Hashem your God? Because he has to set a context. So if we look at Nechama, and I recommend it highly, Nechama says, one second, she lists a number of different explanations, one of which is Meshechachma. I have a quote for you. Meshechachma says, okay, Torah did not limit our diet beyond our capacity, nor impose sexual restrictions that would restrain reproduction or deprive the body of its needs. Here the Torah legislates seeing that incestuous relationships tempt man. Indeed, the children of Israel wept over the ban on incest, as they did also in the days of Ezra. And when Ezra came and said, you know, you can't, and they're like, what? What do you mean we can't? What are you talking about? There are midrashim that talk about how Bnei Yisrael, they mourned, they lamented the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God limited these kinds of sexual relationships. Hence the Torah states that there was no natural barrier to these laws, for Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am the Lord your God. I created you and know your nature and constitution. It is not difficult to restrain yourselves. It is I who bid you not to follow the doings of the land of Egypt, but you shall keep my statutes, which if a man shall do, he shall live in them, for this is for your own benefit. So instead of saying, I am Hashem your God, Hashem Elokeichem, dum dum dum, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, power and awe, and do it because I said so. Here, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem, I created you. I made you, I know what's good for you. So therefore you should follow these laws because they're for your own benefit. And it's a different...
Like a parent.
Yeah, like a parent. Which one is a parent? Is the parent do it because I said so, or is the parent do it because... Do it because I care about you and I want what's best for you.
Both.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Both, depending on the circumstances,
yeah.
But it's...
Maybe it's an Ani Hashem to show that the way it's over in Shema, Ani Hashem, we learn from that because it's in the same place.
I did mention it, but there's a lot of... There's a lot of Ani Hashems in Devarim.
The fire that you get for Shema and for what you learn in Shema, like keeping the mitzvot of everything, it's the same fire in Onesh.
That's a little bit of a stretch for me, because it says Ani Hashem Elokeichem a lot in the Torah, but it was interesting to me to point out that it's said in the context of Sunut, Asher Atem Zonim Achareihem. Just interesting. Yeah, I mean, without a doubt.
If you do those ways, the Haaretz is gonna, this land will spit you out, and if you're good and you keep them, then it will be
possible. That's not here yet. We didn't say that. That will come later at the end of Kedoshim.
That's what we learn from Shema.
Right.
So,
but that's Avodah Zarah. That's not this. In Shema, it's Avodah Zarah. Im Shamor Tishma'u, and you don't bow to worship idols. Correct. All right, let's go on to Rashi. Rashi on Gimel. Ki ma'asei Eretz Mitzrayim. Ma'agid shema'aseyem shal Mitzriyim v'shal Kina'anim mekulkalim mikol ha'omot. These guys were the worst. The Egyptians were the worst. Somehow, and the place that the Jews were was that was the worst of all of it. Okay, so Rashi says, worst in what context? This is Rashi. They were the most depraved. In what way were they depraved? Were they known as being depraved?
The Canaanim.
The Canaanim, yeah, the place where they're going to. The Canaanim and the Egyptians. What were they depraved for?
I'm going to say sexuality.
Yeah, I mean, the Canaanim. The Canaanim were known for their sexuality. One second. Never ends. Okay. One second. I gotta turn it off. There we go. Okay. Let's see if I can find the midrash I was looking for. I'll send him a message. Okay. I like that about that. You know, you can like send a text message while he's ringing you. You ever saw that? Okay. All hits at once. Here we are. Everybody's getting a phone calls?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello.
Let me say it again. One second. I saw a midrash. Maybe I saw it in Nechama what she said, what it meant not to do. Okay. Here we are. Yeah. Sifrei, 132. After the doings of Egypt, you shall not do. Okay. The midrash says the following. This does not signify a prohibition to build houses or to work the land. Right? Because she says, what do we know about Egypt and also about Canaan? Right? Egypt was very, very advanced. Canaan also is that when you get to Canaan, you're going to find houses and cities and fortified. There they were physically prosperous. So maybe it means, don't be like them. Why do you look funny? Why are you looking funny? Aren't there groups of? Excuse me. That makes perfect sense. What did the Torah tell you? You now engage in spiritual pursuits. Okay. So the job of the Jewish people is to abandon the physical world and to engage. Hold on. The job of the Jewish people is to abandon the spiritual and physical world and to engage in solely spiritual pursuits. What do your cities look like? It doesn't matter. What do your country look like? It doesn't matter. You need enough to live, yes. But more than that, you don't need. You don't need beautiful cities. You don't need tall buildings. You don't need beautiful highways. You don't need wonderful yeshuvim. Do you really need that? No. Let's be honest. If you would look at the way different groups of Jews build their lives, some groups of Jews build yeshuvim, build cities that are, how shall we say this, not as physically attractive, because they don't care. They're just not interested in that. Why? They have other things to worry about. Whereas we are a little more interested in that. So couldn't one suggest, God is saying, you don't need to build a technologically advanced and a physically strong place. Says the Midrash, no, because it would make sense to say that. I wouldn't be shocked if the Midrash had said that. You don't need to be like them. You don't need to build up your country. It doesn't say that. But only to reject the old established practices, like male marrying male, female marrying female, a man marrying a woman and her daughter, a woman marrying two males. This is the meaning of, you shall not walk in the b'chukutam l'feleh. That's what Midrash says. You know what I'm saying? Does that sound familiar today? You know, men marrying men, women marrying men. That's what they used to do in Mitzrayim. That's what they would do in Canaan. Why? Why not? So Nechama points out, she says very beautifully, he says, here's the problem. Okay? What's included in the permitted of building houses and working the land? And what's the prohibition? Where does it start to be the prohibition of v'chukoteim lo telechu? How much are we not allowed to be like them? And how much are we allowed to do the things that we're supposed to do? Where do you draw the line? And as you well know, this is it's an ongoing debate in Judaism. Where do you draw the line? Some might say, like the Rambam says, you're not allowed to dress like the non-Jews.
Is that where the idea of not wearing jeans comes from?
Do we dress like the non-Jews?
Okay, it depends on which sections you live in.
Us.
I do.
Sure, of course we do. Right? You know, our dress is dictated by...
No, I do.
Clearly you do.
No. This is from a secular store. This is from a non-secular store.
You're not wearing
how I wear it is different.
We absolutely
but
do.
But I do wear what
we absolutely do. Our fashion,
yeah,
our mores...
It does not look like that.
But more than that, so
no,
the...
You're wearing a ta-da top that runs before.
No, but it would be like this. Or,
no, it would be
no,
like
no,
this.
You're mixing issues. You're mixing issues. I'm not talking about... How, right. You're not talking about how long it should be or whether it's modest or immodest. Is the whole mode of your life dictated by non-Jewish values? Or is it not dictated by non-Jewish values? Is that included? You look up Rambam Hilchot Avodah Kochavim, she quotes, she's very interesting. One should not imitate, I was looking for it, I couldn't find it. The idolaters, their dress or hairstyle, it is stated, U'chukotehem lo teilechu. This is a general rule, not to copy their ways. The Jews should be different in dress as in everything else, just as his philosophy and standards differ. What?
Our hairstyles are our own.
That's true. That's
no,
I wouldn't know.
It's
okay.
It's a very interesting.
What?
When we look at those that do distinctively dress Jewish,
mm-hmm.
we go, what is their problem? We're not living in 1800 Poland.
That's not Jewish.
That's
not Jewish. That's not Jewish. Somehow. There's a chair right there. Somehow they misappropriated that idea as being Jewish. That's not Jewish. When you come to Israel today, you will find, if you look hard enough, you find groups that talk about, and Rav Kook talked about this a lot, the idea of what does it mean to have a Jewish culture, a truly Jewish identity. Meaning, but it's not meaning.
And if you're a woman,
if you designed, some people would say that too. But okay, if you designed, if you designed, took a designer and said, design clothing, imbued with, it's uniquely Jewish.
Yeah.
What would you come up with? Would anybody? Would anybody? There you go.
Settler chic.
Settler chic. Because it's so interesting you say that because that's their goal. That's what they're looking to create. Like I once had I did a seminar in NYU. We did like a whole night about what is Jewish music. Like we brought in this singer that I like a lot. His name is Aaron Razel.
Oh.
You ever like Aaron Razel? Mm-hmm. What? You would have come? Yeah. I would have invited you. So, and I asked him to.
Told Johnny we should have changed the spelling of our name from Russell to
Razel. Razel, yeah. So he came and he gave a whole thing about like because to what degree like it's so hard today like every music you have. Even all the, like those, you know, the Uri Davidis and all that, their music is really, it's all influenced. There isn't such a thing as Jewish. What? Everything, of course. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything we have. When I sing Shir HaMalot, it was written by, you know what I'm saying, either a show tune in the 1920s or a German march in the 1850s. You know, just pick your tune. What does it mean to be authentically Jewish? It's very, very difficult when everything is...
It's opera.
Chazanut is opera, right? You know, Avraham Fried, the newspaper, criticized Matisyahu, and he says, that doesn't sound Jewish to me. It doesn't sound Jewish to me either. But what does that mean? Is there such a thing as Jewish reggae rap? I don't know. Shock rock is Jewish? Is it Jewish?
I'm saying the same thing.
Right. Everything, but that's the point. Everything, to some degree, is shock rock. Shock rock just is honest about it. You know what I'm saying? I remember when Mordechai Ben David first came out with, what was the song? Yidden. Remember? Yidden.
Yidden. It was like
criticized. We didn't know. We were yeshiva boys. Only later did it come out on YouTube that they totally stole. The whole tune from some German band in Eurovision.
Yeah,
you didn't know that?
In Europe, it was banned.
Yidden was banned?
Yeah.
In the beginning, yes. Because they said that it's not Jewish music.
Ah, right.
But
right.
It happened that there was plagiarism.
Right, you know. So where do you draw the line? And u'b'chukotehem lo teilechu. What is Jewish? It's not an easy question. And by the way, this is something that today we can struggle with because we have our own identity. We have our own, we have a country, we have a land. And then we can say, well, what does our culture say? You know, is bat ayin chic the way we should dress? Settler chic, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so that's true Jewish garb. So next week I assume you'll all run out and, you know, okay. What? What's that?
Going to chic.
It's hard. It's not simple. Not simple at all. Okay, it was fascinating to me, this issue of the drawing the line between, because we don't believe that you know, you're not supposed to build up a country and be strong and beautiful houses. We don't believe that. But on the other hand, where is Ubuchukotehim Tolo Telechu? So let's look at Rashi for a second. He'll tell you in a second. And this might not make us as happy as we'd like to be. Okay? Ubuchukotehim Lo Telechu. What does it mean not to follow in their statutes? Mahiniach HaKatuv Shelo Amar. Meaning you say don't follow their ways. So what does it mean don't follow in their laws? Ela Elu Nimusot Shelahem. It's their nimusim, their
manners.
Not their manners. Dvarim hachakukim lahem. The things that are from the word chok, chakuk. Hewn for him. No. You're not going to be happy. Kagon, tarteot, v'itstadiot. There, read it.
Theaters and stadiums.
Theaters and their stadiums.
What did they do in their theaters?
No. And there. Their Olympic Games and their sports and their culture. Okay? We are totally entrenched in their sports and their culture.
Yeah.
Well, speak for yourself.
Hang on a second. What did the Canaanites put for their
sports
and culture?
What's that?
What did the Canaanites sports and culture mean? What was that?
I don't know what Canaanite sports and culture was, but it's their culture. What?
But I'm saying, but that's the thing. There's a difference between gladiators and watching a game of football.
Are you sure?
But that used to be the football. Yeah.
That was football. I don't agree
with
you.
That was football.
Meaning, don't go to their...
I understand that point, that it's the sport of the day, but the question is, was there something intrinsically wrong with the sport? Like the gladiators and...
Obsessed
with the with what?
Football.
Is it soccer
football?
Yeah.
It's different now.
It isn't soccer, it's football.
Maybe you call it,
see how apologetic you immediately got explaining away your own life? You hear what you did? See, it's different now. This isn't what Rashi meant. This isn't what the Midrash meant. He didn't mean us. He meant them. They were wrong, but we're fine.
But I'm saying that it could be that the sport.
Where do you see that?
Boxing, I consider a part of that.
See, so you're deciding.
You get on the plane to Melbourne and it's already there on the screen.
Soccer fans at home.
Uh-oh, yeah. Football, it's football.
They are obsessed about these. Yes,
I don't know what they're about. In the morning to watch the news to see the results.
That's the thing. It's the what and the why. And they think that this player is.
This is a fascinating debate. I just think you're all wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because all you're saying is you're saying, it means their violence and their brutality. I don't think what you're saying is correct. It's a culture. The whole culture is a distraction from a religious world point of view. Whether it's explicit or intrinsic. The stadium is, what are you doing in the stadium? You know what the biggest problem with the stadium is?
We learn Torah.
It's a waste of time. It's a useless and pointless pursuit. And the theater? The theater is worse by far.
Why is the theater worse?
Because the theater is based on an entire culture that's completely antithetical to a Jewish point of view. And anyone who watches any theater of any kind, whether the theater is out of your home or the theater is in your home, cannot disagree with that. They just can't.
Why is it worse than going to see a sports game?
What?
They're both
the theater is worse than a sports game.
Why?
Because sports is at least... Let's say I let my kids... What? So they're both bad. I'll tell you why it's bad. The sports, at
they're
least, is a waste of time. The sports is a waste of time.
Okay.
But the theater is a waste of time that's indoctrinating you to cultural values that are antithetical.
So doesn't really? That depend on what you say?
You're all speaking. I'm speaking for someone who's guilty of all these things. I'm not excluding myself, okay? I'm not, you know, like, don't think that... For Afikoman, I bought my kids a subscription to Major League Baseball for the summer. So, what? Oh, both. Oh, yeah, for the kids. That's what Rita said. She's like, oh, you bought that for the kids, I see. Yeah, exactly.
If I go to see a show of Hanok Rosel,
of what?
Hanok Rosel.
Aaron Rosel?
Aaron Rosel.
You mean a Jewish singer?
Hanok Rosel. Depends on my
house. Oh.
If I go and see a show of Pentecost, why is that worse than going to see a football match? I don't understand why.
Well, the question you have to ask yourself is, was he also talking about our theaters, all stadiums, or, like Rashi said, is it their culture? Meaning, could we create a culture wherein it's considered a productive pursuit? Perhaps you could. I wouldn't disagree with that. But it's really rare. I mean, the number, you see it here, by the way, you do. And that's one of the beautiful things about Israeli life, is you see there's a growing... budding industry of what I would consider Torah true culture. There is, like you see, Torah Nechaim, they're producing movies, and Orot, these girls are, they're producing films and theater. You know, one of the things I do when we bring in girls, I bring in, at the end of the day, these Yom Iyun, at the end of the Yom Iyun, so they're all tired, so I bring in this theater troupe, these two guys, and they do skits based on, you know what I'm saying, theater, like sort of theater that sort of brings out the, you know, things that the girls are struggling with. That's great. That's terrific. So rare. What percentage of the things that we watch are that? You know, it says, b'chukotehem lo telechu, their theater, their sports. Right? That's what we do. That's the world in which we live. So as not to think that we are exempt from it. And we're all subject to some degree or another. And the people who separate themselves, who read this most extremely, and insulate themselves to the greatest degree, they follow what Rashi says. You know? Yeah. In that area, on a higher level. But I think there's a cost. Because the more you're on that level, on a higher level, the more you're also not building cities, and you're not building the country, and you're not creating a strong entity. Where would Israel be if all we wanted to do was separate ourselves and create these enclaves of spirituality without any strength? We wouldn't be anywhere. We would be a backwards country.
One doesn't have to negate the
other. Anybody want to comment?
But the moment you separate yourself so much, you don't know what's going on.
You don't know that it exists?
Yeah.
I think they do need to exist the other. I think that it's impossible to create an advanced society, a strong society, economically, intellectually, industrial, technologically, and at the same time insulate yourself culturally. It's impossible. I think they do go hand in hand. This is the conundrum of modern religious life. This is the conundrum.
No.
Where do we set
what to take and what to lose?
How about
I?
100%. Right. Do you bring the newspaper? You know what I'm saying? It's really hard, because if you're not willing to bring the internet into your home, your kids also aren't going to be able to do their homework on the internet. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, they do their homework on the internet, and there's a lot to be benefiting from. And you know what I'm saying? Being connected is an incredible value. It is, you know, for so many different reasons. But there's a price to pay. So this fine line, I think it's a worthy topic of discussion. You know, if you want to have something really interesting to talk about on at Shabbos table, I would bring this up. This idea of b'chukotam lo telechu mishvatai ta'asu. Where is the barrier in this midrash between? It doesn't say not to build cities. It doesn't say not to build a strong country. But it does say not to follow in their ways. And how do you do that? I think it's such a very, very important and relevant discussion. Okay, but I want to do the kliyaka. Where am I time-wise?
You're good.
I'm good? Oh, yeah. For this kliyaka, unbelievable. Okay. Do you guys have a kliyaka? Does anybody have it in there, or you don't have it at all?
Not enough.
Kliyaka says, he asked this question. What does it mean? Kima'asei eretz mishanayim shereshavtim ba'aloi ta'asu. U'kima'asei eretz kanan asher ani mivyevtam sham ba'aloi ta'asu. He comments on the word asher. Where did the money come from? Oh, thank you. He's paying Ireland. Do I owe you?
It's a bribe.
Okay. The language of... Why not just say the following? Kliyaka says the following. Let's read the pasuk again. Pasuk Gimel. Kima'asei eretz Mitzrayim lo ta'asu. U'kima'asei eretz Kanan lo ta'asu. What is the focus on? Kamasei Eretz Yisrael, Asher Yishavtem Ba Lo Ta'asu. Kamasei Eretz Kanan, Asher Ani Mevi Etchem Shama. What is the Asher? Also, could say Kamasei Eretz Yisrael, She Yishavtem Ba. What does the word Asher mean? That. It's superfluous language. There's something extraneous about it. Okay. What's that? So the Kliyakar says, it can't be extraneous, he says, remember we're struggling, what is this Masei Eretz Mitzrayim? What is this Masei Kanan? Eretz Kanan. So he says, the Torah is telling you what the Masei Eretz Mitzrayim and the Masei Eretz Kanan, and it's not the Masei of the people who lived there, but rather it's the Masei of the Jews who lived in Eretz Kanan, and the Masei of the Jews who lived in Mitzrayim. Unbelievable. He says the following. Okay. I have to read it for you. Okay. Shebe'emet Yisrael Yidaber. Because it says Vayeshev Yisrael be'eretz Goshen. It says in the end of Bereishit that the Jews Vayeshev, they dwelled in the land of Goshen. So here's talking about the Jewish people, the Heshimam Elohim, and God Heshimam Asham. He made them guilty. God here, Al shebikshu leishev yeshiva shel keva, because they wanted to dwell permanently. Ba'makom asher amar lehem Elohim ki yusham agerim velo toshavim. They wanted to do. They were in Mitzrayim, and God said, "Ger tiyabaretz, you will be strangers. You will sojourn there. You will be there temporarily." And they got to Egypt, and they said, "It's nice here. We'd like to stay here." Why did they do this? They liked the abominations of Egypt. I'm skipping a little bit, but you can read it yourself. And therefore it says, like the actions in the land of Egypt. The actions that you did in Egypt, and what is the terrible thing that you did in Egypt? Asher yishab kema. Let's read it in the pasuk. Read it again. Pasuk Gimel. Kema'aseh Eretz Mitzrayim, like the actions of the Jewish people in Eretz Mitzrayim, which is what? What did you do? Asher yishab kema. That you wanted to stay there. Lo ta'asu. Don't do that. Okay? Umah umaseh they did, shebikashtem ba yeshiva shel keva, that you wanted to dwell there permanently, because you liked the lifestyle there. You liked the way they lived. You liked their behavior. Don't do that again. To want to dwell permanently amongst a embroiled nation. Don't do that. So what is Ma'aseh Eretz Kanan? Again, Hainu shayu ma'ashim et Yisrael al shahaitim ma'asu be'eretz kedosha. Again, the same thing. They were repulsed by the Holy Land. V'heima ma'asu ba al sheh utzvach HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'aviyam shama ba'al korcham shelo b'tovatam. That God forced them, right, to go into the land of Israel against their will. Where does it say that? Okay. Because when they came out of Egypt, they said, "Mi yutein mutenu be'eretz Hashem b'mitzrayim." You know, when the Egyptians were coming, they said it would have been better if we died in the land of Egypt. Yeah. And when the Meraglim came, it says, "Let's go back to Egypt." V'chein amru, and it says, "Hanashim ayu mechavavot ha'aretz, v'ha'anashim sinuha." The women loved Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, but the men, not so much. Okay. That's why. Why did God have to take them around the Yam Suf for the whole thing? Because it says what? Because it says if we had gone straight, it'd have been easy to come back. All the men would have wanted to turn around. The women would have said, "No, let's keep going." But the men would have said, "No, we're going back." Okay. So this is what it says. So here we see. Therefore, it says that the Jewish people Maasu, they were repulsed by the land of Canaan, and therefore it says Kima'aseh Eretz Canaan. Right. Like the behavior that you did towards the land of Canaan, asher ani mevi etcha shama, that I had to bring you there, lo tasu. Don't do. Meaning what?
So these people who are living in Brooklyn.
Ah.
But it also
okay. Says ubechukotehem. Benatan tam shall be shown. It says why? Amasha lo yivakshu yeshiva shel keva. Don't think that you can live in. Pick your place, and not follow in their ways. And let's be honest; it's the truth. Like you know, some people are able to maintain a Jewish lifestyle to whatever degree possible, but the vast majority assimilate. And we have to think of the Jewish people in the whole. Don't think of only the people living in your little shtiebel. You have to think of everyone. This is, I like Kliyaka, it blew my mind. First of all, it's Erev Yom Ha'atzmaut. I mean, come on. Okay? But even more so, he tells him he rereads the Pasuk. Like, we think in the Pshat, this is not Pshat at all. The Kima'aseh Eretz Kanan is talking about sexual impropriety. But here he says, Kima'aseh, it's your deeds. You rebuked, you rejected the land of Israel. Right? When you were in Egypt, you rejected Canaan. Don't do that. B'chukotayim lo teilecho. Right? You have to follow your own ways. Because if you continue to reject the land of Eretz Canaan, that's what's going to happen. Right? You will follow in their statutes. You will follow in their ways. And I even like the fact that, you know, here we are at a women's shir, and he says, it's not about you. It's not about the ladies. It's about the men. Right? The ladies would have gone to Eretz Canaan. They know what's good for us. The men, we never know what's good for us. We always like what's surrounding us. We always like what's there. So if you're listening to this in Brooklyn, I'm talking to the recorder now. Right? It's a women's shir. If you're a man, follow your wife's advice. Come to Israel. That's what the Kli Yakar says. I mean, you can't deny the Kli Yakar. Okay. How much time do I have? Where am I? Have a watch. 7 minutes. Okay. What does it mean, B'chai Bahem? So there's a look at Rashi. A very interesting Rashi in B'chai Bahem. There's Rashi, and you shall live in them. What's the prop? What is this pshat? Let's do the pshat. B'chai Bahem, and you shall live in them. Ani Akan, I am God. What's the meaning of B'chai Bahem, and you shall live in them? No, you saw Rashi, before Rashi.
Live in them.
And you shall live in them. What's the pshat?
Live your ways.
No. Shmatam et chukotai ben shmatai asher yaseh otam hadam.
B'chai Bahem. You'll live as opposed to die.
Meaning what?
Live the Torah.
Bechai Bahem. You shall live in them. Meaning what?
In them.
Meaning what?
Alive.
Meaning what?
Should keep them.
They're a guide
for you.
Is it a... Oh, let's all... Very good. Is it an instruction or is it a result?
It's a result.
What's the result?
You will live.
Meaning what?
I will give you life.
Great. You follow the Torah.
You
will follow the... If you follow the Torah, you will be rewarded with life. And if you don't follow... And if you don't follow the Torah... If you don't follow the mitzvah, you will die. Right. Okay? So what's the seeming? Doesn't it seem like there's a reward?
It seems like an ultimatum.
Okay. Seems like in them. Okay, that's a different question. Doesn't it seem like it seems like a result? What's the problem with that?
We don't believe in tap theory.
What? Explain. Tap theory? I'm not familiar with that term.
Oh, that if you do the mitzvot, everything goes nicely and successful. And if you don't do mitzvot, your business will fail and you won't... Things.
Why don't we believe in that?
Because it doesn't work. It's like you look around you, it's not reality.
We don't see that.
Right.
Correct. So that's exactly the question. If the Torah is really promising life, how come all the people who follow these mitzvot are not living like 120? And all the people who don't aren't unsuccessful, and all the people who don't are dead? Right. Well, it doesn't seem that way.
It doesn't say where the life will be.
Oh.
Right.
See? Come on. It's so weak. Except, of course, Rashi says that. Right? You know what I'm saying? Why do we say, look at Rashi. V'chai Bahem. Le'olam haba. Why? She'im tomar ba'olam hazeh. Because if you say it talks about this world, v'halo sofo hu met.
The only problem I have with that.
Wait one second. Let's finish the Rashi. Ani Hashem. So why does it say again Ani Hashem? Ne'eman l'shalem schar. If you believe that I am God, then you will also accept that this reward that is so intangible, you can't measure it. You have to accept it. This word, the reward, the ultimate reward, meaning it. I'm going to spend my... I remember once I was working once in summertime in a computer place when I was in high school. Somehow I ended up at one of these company barbecues, and there was this guy, like really, you know, one of these cool non-Jewish guys, and we got into talking about like following the commandments, not following the commandments. He says, I like try to follow a middle ground. He says, I don't know if God exists or God doesn't exist. He says, so on the one hand, I don't want to live a life that's so religious and so chaste because that if God doesn't exist, I wasted my whole life. But on the other hand, I don't want to do something so bad that if there is God, I'm damned to hell. So I try to find a middle road. I mean, like, you know, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it?
I totally get it.
Yeah.
Reasons I started exploring Judaism.
Yeah.
I was always like, well, let me see. If
what if there is a God?
I'll get rewarded, and if there isn't, so I've lived a moral life.
There you go. There you go. B'chai Bahem. So she says, Ani Hashem, I am God. I'm asking a lot. I'm asking you to give up. Let's be honest. These are rayot. I'm asking you to give up a lot. I'm asking you to, you know what I'm saying? It's a meaningful life. It's a beautiful life, etc., etc. See, people seem to be having a good time.
But there's living and there's living. I mean, that's when you say you shall live by them. Mm. There's so many things that we do in the name of fun. But is that like really living? Like, what are we really?
You sound so religious. I mean, come on.
No, to me, it's not a religious thing. It's I actually don't think of it as being religious. Mm-hmm. It's more like meaningful. Like when you go through life and you just
look at the trees, that after a while you don't even see the trees anymore. But if you appreciate the beauty of the trees and the awesome, I mean, like take this time of the year when the flowers are blossoming and the whole process of what's going on, if you can appreciate that, you're living on a different level than if you just go, oh.
There's a lot of beautiful things that we give up because God told us to. Yeah, you want to say something before I got to hit the Ramban?
No, I was just saying that the whole thing that follows this is Kiloy Arayot, and I thought that I had learned that Kiloy, you know, there are three things that you can do if you're going to be sentenced to death.
Very good.
And I think there's the whole thing the Holocaust that they were criticized as girls who, whatever, it's hard to criticize them.
Right.
But they what?
Killed themselves
instead of.
Not going to criticize them at all.
I'm just saying, but the halakha is. Is it not that?
Very good. There's a very famous midrash that says v'chai b'hem, v'lo shiyamut b'hem. It's a very, very famous midrash. Okay, there's a number of gemarot about it that says, and you shall live in them. What does it mean? That the mitzvot were given for life, not for death. That you should violate the mitzvot in order to follow Hashem. That these are mitzvot, right? What? Turns out that's the way we paskin. But there are midrashim that we're not going to learn today. There's a whole other shiur about what are the boundaries of v'chai b'hem. Because during the times of the midrash, there's a whole midrash that you can look at. But the Gemara talks about where Chananya, Avod Azar Gil Ariyot, Shvichut Amim. Okay, the Chananya Mishael Azariah, it says came to Yechezkel. I think it was. Yeah, here it says v'chai b'hem. Okay, Chananya Mishael Azariah. You know Chananya Mishael Azariah where? They were during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar built in the Navi says in. Let me out here. Daniel. The reason we never learned Daniel, anybody know why we never learned the book of Daniel? It's in Aramaic. Nobody's any idea what it's talking about, okay? And the king Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted everyone to bow down to him. So he built a statue of himself, made the whole known world come to this valley where he built the statue and forced them all to bow down to him as a deity. Everyone bowed down, everyone except three people whose names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who didn't bow down. And the decree was, if you don't bow down, you will be thrown into fiery furnace. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah went to Yechezkel. Okay? So they see as they went to him, and they say, Gazra, leinu malchut ha-risha la'avod avodah zarah. We have to go worship by idols. What should we do? Na'avod o lo na'avod. This is a midrash. Amar lehem, so Yechezkel said, asher yaseh otam ha'adam v'chai b'hem. Yechezkel told them, you can worship idols. Meaning, they were the only three that didn't worship idols. So you worship them one time and then, you know, afterwards you won't. This idea of it's a red line was codified in halacha later on. But it wasn't clear where the boundaries were of v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamut b'hem. It wasn't clear at all. So nowadays, by the way, v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamut b'hem is clear, we say, regarding Shabbos, for example. Right? Pikuach nefesh doche Shabbat. Because of this rule of v'chai b'hem v'lo shiyamut b'hem. And the Torah does not want you to give up your life. So is that that's what you're referring to, correct? Right. That is an understanding of v'chai b'hem. That's not the pshat. Chazal took it clearly out of its context in order to... And also, if you would say it in this context of Arayot, wouldn't you say v'chai b'hem especially applies to Arayot? But we don't apply it to those. Right? We say you have to give up your life as opposed to violating one of the Arayot. This is just an interesting side context. Okay? So what Rashi says v'chai b'hem means in Olam Haba. Very interesting Ramban. Won't do the whole Ramban, but it's worthy to note. If you have Ramban on Pasuk Dalet. Okay, so he goes through a number of understandings. See a paragraph he notes the Rabotenu Amru B'chai B'hem V'lo Shiyamut B'hem. Okay? You see where he says Rabotenu Amru? You got it in the Ramban? It's about like a paragraph in. I don't know how big your paragraphs are. Rabotenu Amru B'chai B'hem in Pasuk Dalet. You see it? You got it? Okay. Rabotenu Amru V'chai B'hem V'lo Shiyamut B'hem L'amer Pikuach Nefesh Dochet HaShabbat V'Mitzvot. Right, Pikuach Nefesh, we said, is Doche Shabbat. U'midrasho, but the midrash says, V'chai b'hem, le'olam haba. That's Rashi quoted. Why? She'im tomar be'olam hazeh, v'halo sofo humeit. Okay. V'da. He says, but no. Ki chayei ha'adam b'mitzvot, kefi hachanato lahem. A person's life is based on your preparation for the mitzvot. Ki ha'oseh ha'mitzvot shelo lishman amenat lakabel pras. If you do the mitzvot, not for the right reason, but you say, I want to do the mitzvot so I'll have a good life. Yichya ba'olam bazem ba'olam hazeh yamim rabim ba'osher u'nechasim u'bechavod. He says, yes, it really does work that way. It's a very interesting thing. For the people who will follow the mitzvot only to receive reward in this world, they receive reward in this world. They get exactly what they want. God gives in the left-hand side wealth and reward and honor. Upirusho, meaning lamashmi'ilim, those who follow to the left, the not right course, osher b'chavod. The lowest level of reward, if you want it, for your Torah and mitzvot, can be a good life. If that's really what it's all about for you. V'chein otam asher mitaskim b'mitzvot aminat lizkot lehem le'olam haba. But people who do follow the mitzvot in order to receive olam haba, shem ovdim miyira, who follow God out of yira, out of awe and fear, zochim b'chavanatam linatzel mimashpatei harishaim. They do get reward to be saved from the mishpat harishaim. V'nafsham b'tuv talim, and their spirits have received their reward in the next world. He says, but there's oskim b'mitzvot me'ahava k'din u'kira'ui. But people who do follow the mitzvot out of love of God, okay, yizku ba'olam hazeh l'chayim tovim u'l'chayei ha'olam habaz hutam shneima sham. You can have good life in this world and in the next world. Then he says the following. Fourth level. V'ha'ozvim kol inyanei ha'olam hazeh. Those who abandon all physical matters in this world, and they just don't care about physical needs, and all of their thoughts and their intentions are in their Creator, like Eliyahu. Let's hear in a second. They have eternal life in their bodies and in their souls. So he says the following, he says, Asher ya'aseh otam ha'adam b'chai b'hem, you shall live in them. What is the meaning of b'chai b'hem? It depends on what you want. If you follow the mitzvah just to live a good life in this world, you'll live a good life in this world. If you follow the mitzvah to live, to have spiritual reward, you'll have spiritual reward. If you follow the mitzvah and you do the Torah to cling to Hashem in its truest sense, then you receive ultimately physical and spiritual reward as well. So he says, why don't we see people who are religious and spiritual? Why don't they live forever? Why don't they live the good life? Why don't we see them having reward? You know why? Because they don't want it. Because they understand and appreciate that that's not the purpose of living a spiritual life. They've moved well beyond that. So v'chai b'hem to them means something totally different than to the person who wants to live a good life. And the reason why we think it doesn't work is because we don't value the true value of life. We're not looking for the thing that's truly meaningful. So it's not that it doesn't work. Of course it works. But that's not what it's all about. And the person who knows what it's all about simply isn't interested in the small things that you want. And for that reason, the things you think he can't achieve, he's already gone well beyond. The goal of Jewish life, our lives, the goal of Judaism is to understand and appreciate that the things that we want in this world, the physical things, the pleasure and the benefits, it's nothing compared to the great reward of clinging to Hashem and being close to Hashem. And the things that we say, and the reason why we say it's only Olam Haba is because we don't appreciate the true value of Olam Haba. And we think that this is what it's all about, when this is just really nothing compared to what we're supposed to be trying to achieve. I always find that so meaningful, because he doesn't negate the idea of a chai b'hem. Yeah, you could get long life if that's really what you want. But that's not the goal. The goal is something much, much greater than that. And the reason why people who we see tzaddikim live hard lives and they suffer in this world is because they don't care about the things that we want. They care about the things that are much more important to them. And our goal is to try to come to the place where the things that are important to us, the good life here, isn't meaningful at all. There's something much beyond that. And that's really, I started with talking about the, just by mentioning that we're in Yom HaZikaron, and this idea of a chai b'hem, of life, really reflects this idea that there's something beyond living in this world. There are ideals that are more important. And it's hard for us to really understand and to appreciate people, like people who go out and fight for Am Yisrael, whether they understand it or not, and whether they meant it or not. when you're willing to sacrifice your life for something that's greater than yourself. Right? We say, we don't believe that life is the ultimate value in and of itself. Right? It's v'chai bahem, in the mitzvot, in the context of a meaningful Jewish life. And today we honor people who, whether intentionally or unintentionally, whether meaning to or not, understood that life is meaningful in the context of creating a greater good and of building something that's greater than ourselves. And our goal is to not only understand and appreciate that, but honor them for the sacrifice that they made and appreciate the great gift that they gave us. So we should have a very meaningful Yom HaZikaron and a very, very beautiful and wonderful Yom HaZikaron.